Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been gray, it's been chilly, it's been cold, and we've had our first real frost out there, frosty sidewalks early in the morning. Lyle Jansky discovered that the other day. He came out to take his garbage out, and he walked across the deck out behind his house, and suddenly, without his anticipating it, his feet were up above his head. They were way up there. He looked at them in wonderment, and then he came crashing down. He'd been holding the garbage under one arm like a fullback holds a football, and it just squirted all over him, covered his shirt. He just lay there for a moment. He'd bounced pretty hard on the wood, and you could imagine that somebody who had bounced that hard would maybe forget who was president and maybe forget their own Social Security number. But he repeated those to himself, and he got up, and he did not have to go into rehab. It was a wonderful start to the day when you fall and you're not actually hurt that bad. It could have been worse, as we say in Lake Wobegon. He got up, and there was his dog looking at him with newfound respect in his eyes. It made up for having been toilet papered on Halloween and for having manure dumped in his yard, some unhappy student of his up at the high school. But he decided right then and there, when he fell and was not hurt, that he was going to go deer hunting again this year. He'd thought he wouldn't, but now he decided that he would. Deer hunting season began today in Minnesota. That's the firearm season. The bow and arrow season was back in September. The muzzle loading season is later, I think, in December. And then the season for driving them over a cliff and killing them with boulders, that was back in August, so you missed out on that this year. They took a census of deer in Minnesota, and they found there were about 1 million. But, you know, a lot of deer are very wily, and they avoid those census takers with their clipboards, and they crouch down behind trees. There are undoubtedly 2 million deer in Minnesota. 1 out of 10 will be killed, harvested, we like to say, killed during deer hunting season. That's coming up here. 1 out of 10. They fight back, deer do. They fight back every way they can. They launch suicide attacks on moving vehicles. They sometimes late at night on the freeway, 7, 8, 9, 10 deer will come dashing out into the paths of semis, swerving to avoid them and crashing into the ditch and so on. They are a destructive and embittered animal. And then there's the whole question of deer ticks, of course. You go hunting, you have to make a choice here. You know you're very likely to get Lyme disease if you go out there and you have to clean that deer yourself, even if you're just around it. Those deer, they pass on deer ticks to each other. They know who has deer ticks, and they snuggle up next to each other, and they get them. So if you want to go hunting, fine, but you may very well, about a week later, have this terrible achiness and fever and a headache, and it won't go away for about 3-4 months. So think that over. Think about what you want to do. Lyle is going to go out deer hunting with his brother-in-law, Carl Krebsbach, and Gene Magandans is going with them too, and then two guys from down in the city, Jim and John, they're coming up. Even though they are on the miscreant list for having brought along a friend last year who just did not fit in, a guy named Ron. He brought a covered dish to the deer shack. Men do not do that. It was a pheasant marsala, and they looked at him in wonderment. These are bologna sandwich guys. These are beef stew guys. When they did get a deer, he cooked it up in crepes. He made venison crepes with flaming cheese, and he's always talking about noodle, you know, beds of noodles and so on, and cheesecake, and he bakes in the deer shack. He will not be invited again. And it's not only because he just way overreached with cooking. It was also because he brought a guitar. And that's a bad sign. Men want to sit around. They want to drink gin. They want to play some gin rummy, play some poker. They want to smoke cigars. They want to talk about the women they knew before they met their wives. They want to use all kinds of language that might otherwise be prohibited. They're not interested in singing. So when a man sits down with a guitar and he tunes it, they're uneasy. And then when he says, "Now you all know Wimaway, don't you?" That was the point at which they knew he was never, ever going to be invited back again. No, it's a big time deer hunting. The women, of course, pretend to be concerned. They pretend to worry about men going off into the woods in their orange jackets, and they fuss over scarves and gloves and so on, and they hug them and with tears in their eyes, as if they're saying goodbye to them forever, perhaps. The moment they disappear, it all changes. The widows' parties in Lake Wobegon, you would not believe. They gather at somebody's house and they bring wine, and not just one bottle. I mean, they bring a lot. I mean, they get schnockered. This is hard, heavy drinking. They eat a lot of chocolate, and they sit around, they play strip poker, and they talk about these husbands in such frank terms. Men would be shocked to hear it. Thank goodness they don't. And if there were interesting men who were around town right around then, those women would invite them over. They are blowout parties. They go on late into the night. Women screaming, cackling, just laughing and laughing and laughing at things their husbands have done and said. Oh, I wish I could tell you, but this is radio, and I just can't go into that much detail on it. No, it's quite a thing. Those of you who go out deer hunting, those of you who may be out deer hunting today, you might want to call home and see if she's there. I frankly doubt it. They'll go off to church tomorrow, the women. Some of them will stay over, and they will sleep over at the house where the party was because they're unfit to drive or even walk. And they'll go off to church tomorrow, and they will hear the sermon, which is going to be on the Beatitudes, and blessed are the peacemakers and the meek and the merciful and those who are poor in spirit, none of which these women are. They will listen to it carefully, and then they will go home, and then they will try to sleep it off. And they'll start thinking about Thanksgiving. We're already starting to argue about that. Where are we going to spend Thanksgiving, and do we have to invite all of them, or can we just have some of them? Families get big, children beget children, and those children grow up, and pretty soon the dining room table is packed, and the children's table is too, and you've got two card tables off in the hallway, and it just gets to be too much, and it is noisy, and you get all these people under one roof, and pretty soon politics comes up, and there's where people divide. You've got Republicans in the living room, you've got Democrats in the kitchen, and a Republican will wander into the kitchen and they just set on him. They got knives in there, you know. And political differences have broken up many a family. Now, people who are so wrong about things, you wonder if you should trust the pie that they brought, you know. Would they be able to make a pumpkin pie when they're so wrong about the economy? No, it's a tense situation. Thanksgiving coming up. So make up your minds now who you're going to invite, and then stick to it. People do fancy things with apple pie. They put raisins in them, and they put cheese right inside the pie, and they put Italian seasoning on it, and they do all manner of things. It takes cinnamon and nutmeg and some sugar and tart apples and a little bit of salt, and you got yourself an apple pie. Perfection is perfection. There is no reason to improve on it. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.